There's a COVID-19 vaccine class action lawsuit that has been announced. It's been filed by Rath and Company on behalf of Albertans harmed by the COVID-19 vaccines. The legal action is centered around allegations of unlawful, negligent, inadequate, improper, unfair, and deceptive practices by the defendants in relation to the warning, marketing, promotion, and distribution of the COVID vaccines. Jeffrey Rath is lead counsel with this lawsuit, and he's with Rath and Company. Jeffrey, welcome to the Richard Serrett Show. How are you?
I'm very well. Thank you for having me on. Such a pleasure.
My pleasure to have you. So the defendants, is it as simple as just the provincial, the province of Alberta and the government of Canada, or are there individuals named, or are those the defendants?
No, there are certainly individuals responsible, but as far as the action goes, the defendants are Canada and Alberta. I mean, the reality of it is that, you know, if you want to look at some of the people that are the most responsible for what happened, you know, be it Justin Trudeau, be it Theresa Tam, be it Jason Kenney or Dina Hinshaw, right? You know, first of all, Trudeau and Kenney are very difficult, you know, to sue as individuals because they'd be hiding behind whatever immunity they could claim, you know, as elected officials and elected representatives. And, you know, people that are grossly negligent as Hinshaw and Theresa Tam, you know, if, you know, one action succeeded against them, you know, they would be personally bankrupt. So, you know, well, that might, you know, provide some satisfaction to people that were so harmed by all of their grossly negligent decision-making. You know, from a legal perspective, it's largely a waste of time. You know, we're all taught in law school that you never sue a man of straw, right? So, you know, filing a multi-billion-dollar lawsuit, you know, against individuals seeking redress is, you know, it's kind of a fool's errand.
How many plaintiffs thus far? I mean, I know you're anyone that's been affected adversely can sign on to this class action, but can you tell me how many plaintiffs thus far?
Well, I mean, the reality of it is in Alberta, we're presuming, you know, at least several hundred thousand plaintiffs, right? But you have to realize that in Alberta, the way class action lawsuits work is that we currently represent everyone in Alberta who is vaccine injured, right? And the only way for people to opt out of a class action lawsuit once it's certified is to contact our office and formally opt out. So the way it works in Alberta is you're presumed to be in unless you opt out.
Wow. Interesting.
That's things, Dan. We currently represent everybody in the province of Alberta who are vaccine injured. And just from what we've seen, you know, I'm presuming that the numbers are potentially in the hundreds of thousands. Like, you know, just by way of example, and I can speak about my office.
Yes.
You know, in my office, we had 10 people that chose to get vaccinated. We didn't obviously have vaccine mandates in my office. And several of us obviously chose not to get vaccinated. And our policy was, you know, you meet with your own physicians, you make your own decisions, right? So out of the 10 people who chose to get vaccinated on what I would suggest was negligent advice from their physicians, right? Mm-hmm. Of the 10 people who chose to get vaccinated, fully three of them developed cardiac complications and myocarditis. And in fact, a senior lawyer in our office has now been diagnosed with both myocarditis and vasculitis directly attributable to the vaccine. So just think about that for a second. A 30% myocarditis rate in my office, right? I'm sure that the amount of vaccine injury out there is way higher than anybody's currently admitting to. I mean, the federal government currently admits to 11,000 serious adverse events from the vaccines, and they admit to killing 400 Canadians.
So yeah, that doesn't get reported very often.
No, and let's just stop and think about that for a second. Trudeau and Tam murdered 400 Canadians with all of their vaccine conduct, right? Hiding the truth from people, not allowing the truth to come out about the fact that the vaccines are experimental, that the vaccine manufacturers themselves in the contracts with the Canadian government did not warrant these vaccines for safety because there was no long-term safety data, right? 400 people died. So think about, you know, the fact that 400 people dying from the vaccine, that's more people than were murdered with firearms in Canada last year. And, you know, and if all of a sudden 400 people were murdered with firearms, you know that Trudeau would be on his soapbox, you know, saying that that's the perfect excuse to take away every single firearm from every single Canadian because, oh my God, look at those 400 dead bodies. Isn't that horrible?
Yeah. And
right? Like, Trudeau and Sam have killed more Canadians than any mass shooter in Canadian history. Think about that.
Well, let's not forget also in 1976, they pulled the swine flu vaccine because 25 people died. Now we've got
I'm well aware of that. My father was a very senior public health official at the time, and he was involved in making that decision. That's one of the things that drives me so strongly with regard to, with regard to these issues. Like, you know, at the very start of the pandemic, my wife, like a lot of people, was afraid. And I said, honey, look at that stupid death clock that they have on TV, right? Let's do it. Get your calculator out. I said, you can run the numbers with me. I said, even with all this panic, I said, the mortality rate worldwide from this thing is 0.04%. It's no worse than a bad H1N1 season. So I said, I don't know what this is all about. I don't think it's about public health. And our policy as a family, we're not going to worry about any of this garbage, nor are we going to do anything that they tell us to do, because it's all of this, to me, smacks of some massive fraud.
Right. And now the CDC,
and that's the way I've
said it. Now the CDC has come out and said, yeah, just treat it like the flu.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And think about, we have another class action going in Alberta where we're suing on behalf of every single business in Alberta that was unlawfully shut down by Dina Hinshaw's COVID orders. So, and if you think about that, like, you know, and when I say they're unlawful, I don't think, and again, because it was suppressed by the national media, we won a huge case in Alberta last summer where we succeeded in having every single COVID order issued by Dina Hinshaw throughout the pandemic to be declared unlawful because they were issued outside the scope of her authority under the Public Health Act.
That's right. Think
about how grossly negligent that is. You're bankrupting businesses. You're driving suicides in the province of Alberta. You're locking healthy people in their homes. You're preventing healthy business owners running healthy businesses from serving healthy patrons to the point where their cash flows are so disrupted that they either end up bankrupted, or in the case of some of the clients we're representing in that class action, you know, are $12 million in debt from all the money that they've had to borrow to keep their restaurant chain open, you know, post-pandemic, right? So, you know, just some huge economic devastation, all for something that the CDC now admits that we should have just treated like a flu bug.
Jeffrey Rath, lead counsel. Yeah, sorry, Jeffrey, I just got to head into a break here. We'll come back and chat some more. Jeffrey Rath, lead counsel with Rath & Company. He's lead counsel on a class action lawsuit filed against the federal and provincial government of Alberta for misinformation and negligence about the risk and dangers of COVID-19 vaccines. Back with more of our conversation in 3 minutes. Don't go away. Jeffrey Rath stays with us, lead counsel with Rath & Company. And lead counsel on a class action lawsuit filed against the federal government and the provincial government of Alberta for misinformation and negligence about risk and dangers of COVID-19 vaccines. Are you able to disclose the damages you're seeking?
Well, the damages obviously are going to be driven by the numbers of people that we identify with vaccine injuries. I mean, in the case of our lead plaintiff, the entire left-hand side of her body has been paralyzed, and it's an acknowledged vaccine injury. She's been certified as vaccine injured by the National Vaccine Injury Compensation Program, which is just a massive scam. I think they've offered her, you know, a pittance for her injuries. She's fully paralyzed on the left-hand side. She's suffered brain damage. Her short-term memory is completely gone. She has to take notes of every conversation she has with everybody so that she can remember what was said. It's just horrible. Her entire life was ruined. They lost the family farm. They had to move, you know, they've had to move into town because they couldn't afford to maintain the farm because she couldn't work anymore. I mean, her damages and losses are in the millions. Obviously, I'm of the view there's way more than 400 deaths. They just haven't been properly identified or diagnosed. One of the problems here with the massive cover-up of what I would say is a massive cover-up of vaccine injuries, the government of Alberta and the government of Canada have made it all but impossible for doctors to file vaccine injury claims.
Yes.
So in Alberta, as an example, it takes a doctor about an, and I know this because I've seen an expert report, an affidavit prepared by a doctor in Alberta that went through this. It takes about an hour to fill out an individual claim on behalf of a patient. He's submitted reports of clear vaccine injuries, and they were rejected. And then he's had to resubmit them and appeal them and, you know, all those types of things. They fight every single vaccine injury claim or, you know, or report by physicians as if it's $1 million, you know, piece of litigation, you know, because they don't want these numbers going up. Like they don't, you know, they don't want the real numbers getting out there as to what the number of serious vaccine injuries are. You know, the other thing that I'd like people to really pay attention to, because this is going to come back to really haunt the government of Canada. I personally forwarded to Theresa Tam, Prime Minister Trudeau, and Dina Hinshaw during the pandemic a copy of Table 14 of the Pfizer vaccine emergency use application of that application. Table 14 of that application was Pfizer's data on vaccine effectiveness versus harm in children. Okay, Pfizer's own data claimed that the vaccines would only notionally save the life of one child per million, which, according to all the experts I've spoken to, is stretching it. But Pfizer admitted that their vaccine was going to put at least 34 children per million in the ICU, not just hospital. Like the hospitalization numbers were double or triple that. But they were going to put 34 children per million into the ICU with myocarditis. So, you know, again, speaking to cardiologists and experts in pediatric cardiac care, of, you know, 34 kids going into ICU with having to go into ICU with myocarditis, the survival rate would probably be about half of that, right? And then the ones that survive would have, you know, permanent heart damage and shortened life expectancy, right? So, you know, literally the government of Canada, Theresa Tam, Dina Hinshaw, all personally were delivered by me hard evidence that you are more likely to die from the COVID vaccines if you were a child than you would die from COVID. But they went ahead and pushed these vaccines on children without telling the parents about this information. You know, so that's why we've actually pled in our statement of claim that they have all engaged in what we call a conspiracy to commit assault and battery on the Canadian public at large, because they withheld deliberately withheld relevant information from the Canadian public. You know, how many parents do you know that would have had their children vaccinated if the parent was told, oh, and by the way, these COVID vaccines that they say are safe and effective, they're actually 14 times more likely to kill your child than COVID. Now, you know, being provided that information, what sane parent would have their child vaccinated? I ask you that question.
Precisely, yeah. Do you have a court date scheduled yet?
No, not on this one. The certification hearing on our business class action has already been set for October, and we're just going through the early steps of certification. We hope to get a schedule set soon. And again, we're hoping you know, to have a certification hearing set for this in the fall of this year.
Okay, very quickly.
There were,
there were so many court cases, you know, whether it was, you know, Brian Peckford and Max Bernier on the travel mandate, and the court ruled it's a moot point because the travel mandate is no longer and so forth. Everything seemed to be going the wrong way in the courts. And then, of course, we had the federal court ruling that the Emergency Act was unlawful. I mean, I know the Emergency Act and your class action suit are two different things, perhaps apples and oranges. But do you think, do you sense that because of that ruling, there is a mood change that perhaps courts maybe were during COVID were reticent to go against the government, and now there's been a sea change in that regard?
Well, I certainly think that, you know, people are, you know, now that we're out of, you know, all of the panic and fear that was deliberately created, you know, by our government, right? Including enlisting for the first time in Canadian history, the Canadian Armed Forces Psychological Warfare Command against the Canadian people to terrorize them into getting vaccinated, right?
Yes.
I think now that we've stepped back from that, you know, people are able to think a bit more critically, and even people you know, that were vaccinated or were pro-vaccine, you know, a lot of them are now being forced to acknowledge that they know far more people that are horribly vaccine injured than they know people who died of COVID, right?
Yes.
So, you know, as an example, I mean, you know, prior to these vaccines, how many times did the average Canadian hear the words Guillain-Barré syndrome, right?
Yeah.
How many times did Canadians, you know, meet somebody and said, oh, I've just been diagnosed with an autoimmune disorder. You know, I mean, these things were rare in Canada prior to the advent of the vaccine. Now they're common, right? It's the same thing with, you know, all of these, you know, all of these vaccine injuries, like vasculitis in children.
Yes.
I mean, that's almost unheard of, but it's now being diagnosed on the regular. And it's all, you know, basically the, you know, the vaccines have killed portions of the circulatory systems of some of these children. So their, you know, their veins no longer regulate blood pressure the way that they should have.
Yeah, I just had the right? embalmer on from Alabama who sort of blew the whistle and started speaking out about all of the these fibrous clots that he was finding in bodies he was preparing for embalming and so forth. Jeffrey, we have to go, but I hope you'll come back on and we can do an update from time to time. I appreciate you.
I'm happy to come back to speak to you and your listeners anytime you'll have me. And thank you for inviting me on. I appreciate it.
Jeffrey Rath, lead counsel with Rath & Company on this lawsuit. The website is rathandcompany.com, rathandcompany.com, and you can read the news release there and find out more about this class action lawsuit.